Powered by a 100% Australian electricity and gas retailer. That's Red Energy. Switch today. Robot Building Supplies. Robots got it. On SEN, Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Great to have you with me. 1-300-736-736 is the open line for Werribee Kia. Take plenty of your calls in this hour. Sean Higgins about to join me in a matter of seconds. But Werribee Kia open for business. And if you're open for business and you've got a small or medium-sized business, then you can let us know, let the world know at 2:30 today. So in about half an hour from now, we'll play a little bit of What's Open and you can plug your small or medium business. Or you can send through a text on the speckled text and we'll read out your text and your phone number and let the world know you're up and running. Sean Higgins is with me, North Melbourne star for the Australian-made logo. Look for the green and gold Australian-made logo to be sure it's authentically Aussie-made. Welcome to you, Sean. Great to have you on again.
Good afternoon, Dwayne. Thanks for having me.
You might get some clarity today. The AFL Players Association delegates are meeting today and a survey going to players about hubs and maybe get some questions that you've got answered, which will be nice for all of you.
Yeah, hopefully a few more pieces of the jigsaw puzzle come together, and then I guess the big date and when the announcement will come on the 11th is hopefully when we all become a little wiser.
So you don't think you'll get told today what the penciled-in date of a return to training will be?
Yeah, possibly we will. I'm imagining we'll get a bit of a lay of the land and what's been thinking and planning and been the centre point of discussions for the AFL over the last few weeks, and I'm sure they've been in dialogue with the PA, and then it's a matter of updating all of us as players, and like you said, the delegates and the board will have a chat today, and then we'll all have a chat, or the survey will come through, and we'll go from there. But what that entails and the dates around that and the detail in that, I'm not 100% sure. Like you said, I'll become wiser after today, and hopefully we'll all become wiser in a couple of weeks, and we can get a date locked in and something to work towards, which we're all excited about.
Some players are hanging out for a date more than others. Some players kind of need a date to aim at. It's going to be a long wait if you have to wait until May 11. It's essentially a couple of weeks away.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the date's important, but I think just an updated version of events and planning is what's really important for us as players. And everyone's slightly different, and you've probably spoken to many players who need an exact date. You know, me personally, I'd probably say just some sort of time frame or thereabouts that they're working towards, and then as it gets closer, maybe the date becomes more relevant to me. But continue to do the training necessary. But I guess the difficult thing from a player's perspective is we're not sure if that's a month or if it's 3 months. And obviously the amount of training and the volume of training and what the program looks like would differ if both of those scenarios are the case.
So what would you like answered? What questions would you throw up?
Yeah, obviously the timing around it all is important for the players, and if we can get some clarity around that, and then obviously the next step would be, okay, if we do come back, when do we come back to the club? How long would that process take to lead into a game? And then when the games are around, what does that look like? Is it a hub situation? Is it a combination of both? Is there time frame on those hubs, the likelihood of coming out of that? So much detail and questions, I guess, that you could ask. But they're some of the things that I'd love some clarity on.
And have you been keeping in contact since last week with a few players? Are they ramping up their training, do you think, in the last week?
Yeah, obviously dialogue just between the players in my team. We catch up daily, so I'm across exactly what the program for us looks like, and also the program I had, and had a running session this morning and followed by weight. So I'm well aware of the process that we're undertaking and sort of building towards. So I'm sure most clubs are like that. But yeah, we're across what it looks like, and definitely the football component slightly more match conditioning has definitely come into the program for us.
Will it help some clubs that they can get together face-to-face quickly, more quickly than the others? In WA right now, the two WA teams can train in groups of 10, not officially at the club yet, but they can get together in groups of 10 and have a coffee, and they can get together in groups of 10 and all of them head to a golf course and play in fours.
Yeah, well, clearly that's going to help, isn't it? Hopefully we get to a stage where restrictions lighten off a little bit and we're in a similar boat. If that was the case, then you would probably get a little bit more out of that, and the benefit would be greater than us at the moment, either training by yourself or in a pair. But we do what we do, and we've got to make the best of the situation that we're given. But clearly at the moment, that would be a slight advantage if we could get to the situation where we're able to train with smaller groups, but having said that, greater than the two that we're training with at the moment.
And do you still think that are the players still talking about a 3-week lead in as a training base before you're able to play? Is that still the rough parameter, or would it be more than that, do you think? Would you need a month?
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure. I mean, I've gone on the media speculation at the moment and also the thoughts and opinions of some senior coaches elsewhere. And they're of the thought process that sort of that 2-3-4 week would be ideal. The closer to 3 or 4, probably better for all of us. But having said that, we want to start and give ourselves the best opportunity to get all these games in. So that's why the training at the moment is important, that you leave yourself in a position that if it needs to be hurried along a little bit, that we can cater for that. So that's the juggling act at the minute. We feel like we're doing a pretty good job of that. And I'm sure over the coming days and weeks that all those timelines will become a lot clearer.
Is there a time in the hub that would be a deal breaker for you, or are you in whether it's 2 weeks or 2 months?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I've only probably thought about that the last 24, 48 hours when I've done some reading, and obviously the AFL have released some stuff, and the thought and the idea of hubs are becoming, I guess, real, and a realisation that we as players need to get our head around. And everyone's in a slightly different boat. I mean, I've got a wife, I've got a little girl, my wife works. Now, I would definitely play. There's no question about that. But the logistics around that all and how it looks, there's a little bit to play out. And, you know, there's other guys that have got a number of kids, or, you know, they've got kids on the way. It's going to be a really interesting time, and also interesting to find out just the detail in and around the hubs of what's expected, and maybe if there's some leniency for certain players given the situation that they find themselves in personally.
So you think that if you're in a hub for a long time but a player has a baby expected, they can be released from that hub at any time anyway, and they obviously just rejoin when the parameters allow them to rejoin, but that might be after 2 weeks out of the hub quarantining and then they rejoin it again. So you can be released at any time.
Well, I'm not sure. I haven't heard that. I was just raising a few of the complications that we all face at the moment and potentially some clarification needed. And I'm sure these would be questions that come up from players, but also that AFL would be covering off at the moment and making sure that everything's really clear. But there's just a lot to come into play, as you could imagine, even for support staff. You know, umpires are another huge part of this as well. Coaching, the running of the stadiums, wherever these hubs seem to be, there's a lot of pieces that need to come together for this to work.
And if it was compulsory to download the app before you walked into the hub, are you okay with that?
Yeah, personally, I'm okay with that. I mean, I'll do what's necessary for the greater good, and that's not, you know, that's outside of football as well, because I think I just heard on your program it, you know, 2.4 million or something Australians have downloaded the app. You know, we all run so many apps on our phones at the moment, and the access of location of people is prevalent through all those apps. So I'm sure that this would be no different. And if it means that we can get back to some normality quicker than otherwise it would be, then I'm all for that.
Talking to Sean Higgins, North Melbourne Star. Sean, we've talked a bit about the pathway of heading into, you know, an AFL career and whether the draft age should go up or down. And I kind of don't mind the Alistair Clarkson compromise where the first round of picks or the best 25 under-18s can be drafted, but then, you know, you jump to an under-19 system beyond that. What did you make of all that? And do you think that we are going to get a bit of a streamlined system that might actually be better in the long run?
Yeah, I found that really fascinating, actually. And even the detail and the numbers around how many games 18-year-olds play if they're picked up outside that first round. And I found that really interesting because you just sometimes don't pay attention to them, and very few play outside the first round in that first year or so. And so potentially that's a way to look at it, because I know we chatted about a couple of weeks ago that the system we've got at the moment caters for all. And I do feel that there are many players, particularly the top end of the draft, who are ready to step into the AFL environment and have really matured both on and off the field and would play and make a difference early on in their career. And I'm not sure if we need to have parameters to limit those players or not, but definitely as the draft sort of works its way through, there are guys getting picked up that would find it challenging to play, but then at the same time, maybe take some of their development away off the field. So it's a bit of a juggling act. I quite like that theory, and maybe we could stagger it, but still give the opportunity for the top end talent to step into the AFL.
Did you watch the last two episodes that have dropped on The Last Dance, Michael Jordan and the handshake episode with Isaiah Thomas? What did you make of that? Have you always been a handshaker? Have you ever had a game finish and you've refused or had been refused by someone else to shake hands?
No, I can't recall that. I did watch it, and I'd actually been across that situation on a YouTube clip a while ago. But look, I'm all for the banter, the focus, the commitment while the game's played, and you do what you need to do, I guess, to get the win. But I think our code does it really well, that we have some great scenes, post-matches of guys coming together, teams coming together and congratulating each other and respecting what happened in the 2 hours leading into that. So from my point of view, that's where it sits. A little bit of, you know, what stays on the field for those 2 hours, then you go about the business what you need to, and really combative and competitive, which is great. But I think when the whistle's blown, then we can show some sportsmanship and respect for the game and also the opposition and the team that we've just played.
And obviously there's been a lot of talk about, you know, skill improvement over this period. There's some people that are working harder, like Ewan McLaughlin himself. Some people have been working a lot less. Have you been checking the scales every day? You're looking at, how do you monitor yourself with your own fitness? How do you know you're on track, and how many, you know, kicks and skill bits and pieces have you been putting yourself through solo?
Yeah, probably slightly easier for guys that have been in the industry a little bit longer, because you know what's good for you, and you know the norm for you and the levels of, you know, either running or weights or your body composition, what that needs to be. So I'm pretty comfortable and confident that I'm in condition that I need to be. There's obviously running programs that are set that our high performance team are over the times and the distances and that sort of thing that we need to run and make. And if we're ticking them off, then we know we're traveling okay. The challenge probably comes for guys new into the system, 1, 2, 3, even 4 years, because they're still developing and learning. And a lot of that learning is done off guys when they're at the club. So when they find themselves away from the club and training solo, then it's never quite the same as training in a group. And that's what we've got to look out for in my team, but also across the board. And I'm sure all clubs are doing that to make sure that their development program for their first to 4 year guys is still maintaining, and it doesn't leave their young guys in a situation that when we get back playing, that they're behind the eight ball.
Now, great to have a chat to you, Sean. I know we're going to talk more about the Mindfulness in Sport podcast that you've been putting together. Who's been on your latest edition before we let you go?
Yeah, it was. We had a great chat. It's actually going to go live later this week. A gentleman called John White from the HeartMath Institute over in California and worked with over 18, 19 NBL Major League Baseball teams, and the correlation between some heart training and mindfulness training, and that had what's that had on performance. And it was a fascinating interview, and stay tuned for that to come live probably Friday.
Good stuff. I know you're sticking around after the break. We're going to have a chat to Kayla George together, so I look forward to that as well. Opal Star about to join us. Stick around, you're with Dwayne's World. North Melbourne Gun, Sean Higgins with me. You can support localaustralianmade.com.au. Great to have Sean with me for Australian Made. But we're joined by Kayla George, Australian Opal Star, Melbourne Boomers star, Commonwealth Games gold medalist. And I understand you two know each other, Sean and Kayla. Firstly, welcome to you. Kayla, great to have you on.
Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
You know each other, Sean?
Yeah, there's a connection there, Dwayne. So hello to Kayla, but both under the same banner,
hey,
the management group at One Management. So, yeah, there's a connection there, as there is with many athletes that the stable's got.
We haven't officially met, you know, face-to-face yet, but,
right,
you know, we know of each other. But we'll meet each other face-to-face, I'm sure, soon, once this is all over.
Any training together?
No.
Not online? You're not hooking up online to try and get a session into? How much difference your training been, given you're a long way out, Kayla, from the Olympics, and you might be a bit longer away from your sport resuming than Sean is from his?
Yeah, I guess for me it was really tough because a lot of the basketball courts and stadiums were closed down. So I bought a hoop. I actually drove back up to Cairns. I was living in Melbourne. I've driven back up to Cairns with my husband before the borders closed. And I bought a hoop, and I've been doing as much as I can at home. You know, a bit disappointing that the Olympics was postponed, but at least it wasn't cancelled. So I'm a glass half full kind of girl. So it just gives us more time to prepare and, you know, come away with a medal next year.
While we're on the discussion point around training, Kayla, let's have a little bit of a chat about your online training program, what it entails, and how our listeners can get involved.
Yeah, absolutely. So I launched a bit of a mentor program in November last year. And I guess because I did it with the intention of doing things online, and it kind of worked out really well in the sense of now everything has to be online with the corona stuff going on. But I've done a couple four-week programs online for young girls. All of my programs are targeted at young female athletes, basketballers and other codes as well. Just essentially just giving them like a bit of a heads up of what this professional life is like. We go through goals, we go through mental health and well-being stuff, we go through you know, ways to fuel your body. Like, I've got cooking sessions and live Q&As with amazing elite athletes from across the country. We've got Lauren Jackson, Gretel Tippett, we've got Elia Green, Taliqua Clancy. We have Erin Phillips, Lydia Lassler, and a bunch of the other Opals, Liz Cambridge. So we have a huge range of girls and elite female athletes that have had amazing journeys, have experienced both highs and lows. And so essentially just to give, you know, these young girls, young women that aspire to be athletes or to do big things in life, a bit of a sense of, you know, what it's taken for all of us and each of our different journeys to get there. And you know, it's okay if you get knocked down, you just get back up and keep going. And I guess there's not really a space for, you know, just a female targeted program like this. And I thought, you know, why not just give back to the young girls? I was once that young girl, and, you know, I'm just hoping to inspire as many young girls as possible. And it's a 12-week program with an activity every day of the week. But something I'm really excited about with it is I've linked up with A Stitch in Time, which is a non-profit organisation over in Perth by Greg Heyer, who used to play in the NBL for the Perth Wildcats. He started the organisation just to focus on mental health and helping with strategies to, you know, get through things on and off the court as an athlete and just in, you know, general life. And so he's created a platform, an e-learning platform for me for the 12 weeks for the girls to be able to go through, have a look at what mental health is about, and strategies moving forward, you know, to help them on and off their particular court or field. So I think that's really important because, as you know, Sean, as an athlete, you know, most of it is physical, yes, but a big chunk of it needs to be mental as well, you know, in preparation for big games and things like that, and how you deal with things off the field and off the court as well. So I'm really excited to bring it all together. It's taken me a fair bit of time to get it all sorted and to get everyone on board with it, just because I've got about 15 extra athletes coming in to be a part of the program. So I'm really, you know, we start on Monday the 4th, and go every day until July 24th. So 3 months of just non-stop amazing program for girls.
Great stuff, Kayla. You can find out more at kaylageorge.com, kaylageorge.com. And before I let you go, Sean's got an automatic team network to tap into. Kayla, what are you doing to try and tap into other like-minded people to keep yourself up and running and motivated, given you're in a team environment, but you're not?
Yeah, I've had a few Zoom Connect calls with a couple of teammates. I'm just trying to, self-motivation is really tough. But, yeah, just connecting with my teammates, making sure they're okay. I'm the type of person that likes to make sure everyone's okay before myself. But, everyone seems to be in a good mindset. Nothing much else we can do right now but just to move forward and keep battling on, keep grinding away.
Love your positivity, Kayla, and let's hope you get plenty of people, young and old, tapping into that website. Thanks for joining us, and good luck
The
Olympics come around.
Appreciate you. Thank you, guys.
Kayla George, Opal's star, joining us. Sean, I know you've got to go too. Good luck with the hookup with the fellow players today. Hope you get a few answers, and let's hope we get a date, and let's hope it's mid-June. That'll be nice. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Ryan. Yeah, looking forward to getting back out there as quickly as possible, and we'll chat next week.